this Russian woman came into class and she was tough. And we're like, ooh, Russian. We should, you know, she knows what she's doing. She would wear this big black ski hat over her head. And I'm like, she wants it so hot. She's so demanding. We're so intimidated. Let's let her do whatever she wants, you know. So we let her run the studio when she came in because we were so intimidated. And she was just like, she was so fierce. And then one day she left her thermal hat in the floor. I picked it up and it was frozen. And I'm like, that. No one is gifted as this for magnificent. Classically consistent of nastiest black licorice. Cold as water, get the room hotter than Bikram yoga. Seen the show, you know I make the people move like an eviction notice. I'm focused, I'm like Moses when the mic is on. That's why these rappers scatter like roaches when the light is on. Holding that, holding that, I'll hold it down. I'm staying where I'm at, you better go around. You know the voice and you know the sound. I rip the microphone and then I throw it down. Hold it now, now, I hold it down. I'm staying where I'm at, you better go around. You know the voice and you know the sound. I rip the microphone and then I throw it down. Throw it down.
On September 30th of this year, I was in dread. I was hating the idea of waking up the next day and going to stupid fucking hot yoga. I had a bet with my friends. I'm no longer friends with any of them. Tom Segura, Joe Rogan, Burt Kreischer. They're all out of my life now. And we had this bet. It wasn't even a bet. It was a challenge. I don't even understand what it was. I'm glad I'm not friends with any of them anymore. I'm glad. When you move forward in life and really understand your weaknesses that you once had, you can relish the change that you've made and the improvements you've made in your life by cutting loose that garbage influence in your life. So that's what I did with those three people. They're bad people. They're bad people, and they have no place in my life. But before I realized how awful they were, I was involved in a challenge with them in which I had to go to 15 days. I had to not drink and not smoke and not do any drugs for the month of October, which was horrible. I spent the day on September 30th doing mushrooms and Molly in Central Park, drinking. And then I'd sobered up. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock. My girl was in bed. And I was just sort of sad. I was sad that I had to get up the next day because I had to get 15 days of hot yoga in, and I was going to be gone for a week in Phoenix, or 5 days in Phoenix, and then 3 more days of the Grand Canyon. And so I had to get these 15 days in and quick. So I just started the first 3 days of the year going to hot yoga class at a place called Bikram Yoga LES. Now the name has been changed to Fierce Grace NYC. Still at the same place on Allen Street. That's just like just south of Houston. I think 142 Allen. That could be. I could look it up, I guess. I'm not going to. 142 Allen, 124 Allen, something like that. And does it say right here? 172 Allen. Well, I was wrong. And when I got there, the next day, I had to start early. So it was October 1st. And I got there, and this woman greeted me. Her name was Trisha, and she was smiling, and she was friendly. She was the owner. I didn't know till afterwards. She also led the class, my first class. She taught it. Trisha Donegan. And every time I went, the first time I think a couple fans, or maybe, no, two fans came. I put out where I was going to be. Two fans came. I actually had a lot of fans show up to all these things. I think I might have only done one or two of them, like, completely alone. Everything else, fans or friends showed up. My friend Rebecca from Beijing, Christine Okerson came once. My girl came once. I went with my sister once in Maryland. Luis Gomez, of all people, who took a lot of savasanas. But every time I finished a class, and I was worn out, you know, from all the sweating and the stretching, Trisha was always there with a friendly smile. And a attaboy, a pat on the back, you know, to keep you going, saying, hey, fucking, that was great today, man. You fucking killed it. Just made you feel better. She's one of those people who's just warm, you know? So I probably went there, I think, 11 times. Where else did I go? Twice over at, like, the place on Midwest Side, whatever, like Chelsea. once in Tacoma, once in Phoenix. I think that's it. Yeah, so 11 times I went to there. And by the way, me and Bert Kreischer, before I was able to fully cut him out of my life, taught a Bikram yoga class on a cruise ship heading towards fake Mexico on the Impractical Jokers cruise. It was fun as shit. Were we drinking? Yes. Were we drunk? I assume Bert was. So anyway, I decided let's interview Trisha, and talk to her about yoga and how she got started being a yogi and, you know, the whole thing. Fun interview. Oh, look at you, rat. Look at you. You're about to go away. Yeah, these rats are going to die, you guys. Enjoy the last days. The rats and the homeless people of New York. Tick, 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 tick. Yeah, they come through my yard. Somebody keeps throwing fucking Marlboro Light cigarettes. I don't know how to... I don't want to leave a passive-aggressive note. I want to leave a note that gets the job done. Or do I go door-to-door and just be like, hey, whoever's fucking... No, not cursing. Hey, whoever... Hey, if you're throwing cigarettes out your window into my yard, can you please stop? Maybe just a note. I don't know if I got to go door-to-door. I know the number of the people that live right above me. I'll ask them first. And then if not, that means two more floors. Ew, it's gross fucking picking up cigarette butts in my goddamn yard. My beautiful, beautiful, horrible yard. Yeah, winter's here. It's already snowed twice. Oh, not excited about it at all. I got some dates for you guys. Should be a great... I'm starting the tour in earnest, heavily, in 2 weeks now. Fuck, 1, 2... Yeah, 2 weeks. We start January 4th at the 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia. First time doing this hour on the road. I've been doing the hour... Well, I'll have it one more time, I guess, on Christmas Eve at the Fat Black Pussy Cat, the Comedy Cellars lineup. Website. But that's just me working on stuff. This will be, like, the actual hour, and... It'll only be like half of the special's going to be, and then half just regular material. But it's going to be great. And it's starting January 4th in Athens, then January 5th in Asheville, North Carolina, for two shows of the Great Eagle. Then we got storytelling shows in Denver, the 17th through the 20th. These are going to be fucking great. This is not happening, but we changed the name because of whatever. Whatever garbage this business holds for us. So whatever, no big deal. The name has changed. The show is exactly the same. 17th and 19th, they're going to be the same show. All stories about chicks. 18th and 20th are also going to be the same show. All stories about friendship. The lineups are as follows. Same lineup, both shows, both nights, all four nights, but different stories. That's what I mean. Me, Mark Norman, Joe List, Sean Patton, Steve Simone. Steve Simone, one of the best comedic storytellers in the world. Sean Patton, also one of the best in the world. Yeah, you guys are getting a great fucking... I'm surprised I could put this show together this well. So get tickets to Denver. 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. What is that, like a month out? Yeah, a month out. It's going to be fucking sick. If you want to go to two shows, 17th and 19th the same. Don't go to both of those. Just go to one of those. 18th and 20th the same. Just go to one of those two. Then we got Foxwoods at the Fox Theater, January 26th. Boston at the Wilbur Theater, two shows. It's a late show, which should be fucking rad. Definitely come to the late show if you want. I'll probably be looser than me and Joe List for all these dates. I'm really glad I got him to open for me. He's a fucking killer headliner, you guys. And he's got his own half-hour special coming out on Netflix pretty soon, maybe right after that. The Wilbur, Boston on the 27th, and Comedy Connection in Providence is sold out. On the 28th, maybe we'll add a show. I don't know. And then Helium, Super Bowl weekend in Philadelphia. February 1st, 2nd, 3rd with my daughter, soon-to-be daughter. Hopefully we'll have it done by then. We're going to try to do it in New York a few days before. Anyway, lots of shows. Wise Guys in Salt Lake City in February. Boise, the date's wrong. It's supposed to be on the 27th. If you bought tickets, it's on the 27th, not the 28th. I'm moving it. It's not supposed to be the 28th. I'm leaving the 28th for Seattle. So everybody in my office is gone, so I don't know how I'm going to change it, but just know if you buy tickets, they're going to send you a note saying, hey, sorry, the show's been moved to the 27th. So, yeah, anyway. And then that's it. And then I got shit in March, but we'll deal with that later. I guess the rest of the tour is Seattle, Calusa, which is outside Sacramento, not Sacramento, Vancouver, a storytelling show and a stand-up show, and Edmonton comic strip. And then we're done until almost Australia. No, bananas. Whatever. Okay, we're done. That's it, you guys. You ready to start the show? I can't wait to go skiing. We're going skiing so many fucking places. Park City for Salt Lake City. So excited as shit about that. Vail, obviously, for Denver. That's the whole ski trip after the storytelling show. I need new fucking ski gear. What makes the best ski gear? I need something bright. That's what I want. Bright so my friends can see me and so I can see my friends. Otherwise, just tie a bunch of bandanas around me. I can't. Since it snowed here, I was just thinking about fucking slaloming. I was getting excited as fuck. I haven't skied since 2 years ago when I broke my ankle in Whistler doing shit. It wasn't even my fault. I was off in the woods trying to skate a little jump. I'm not good, but I'm not bad. I'm okay. And the ski didn't release. I feel like I should get my own ski equipment, like boots or something, and skis, but I'm not going to lug them around. There's no fucking way. But ski gear, I need something light and warm. Who makes great light, warm stuff? Oxtrix, I've heard. North Face, probably. I have North Face shit now. It's good, but it's black. And it is warm, though. Anyway, I get so excited. I go to Patagonia or REI. I just look at everything. I just touch the skis and I get excited. I might learn how to snowboard this year. You know, if I get extra days after like Salt Lake City, after my Salt Lake City gigs, I got like 2 days. Maybe I'll just go like take some snowboard lessons and try to do that. So I can be a fucking young punk with no respect for their goddamn elders. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the episode. If you want to listen to this, I suggest listening to it on the Laughable app. It's available for iOS right now, which is a term I've heard, which means iPhone and iPad. The Laughable app's great. It's got skip buttons. It's way better than the fucking iPhone app. You can see other podcasts by guests on the, not won't be this week because Trisha doesn't have a podcast. But if I have whoever on, Giannis Pappas, a link will come up to Giannis's podcast. So it's just a cool way to find out more about the guests that are on right there while you're still listening to it. Instead of going to do a bunch of research, the Laughable app just shows it to you right there. So enjoy. This podcast is also brought to you by Bose Speakers. Is it Bosey? Or is it Bose? I thought Bose, but it could be Bosey. Remember when people were saying it's Nike and not Nike? But it's Nike, right? I mean, that was a real thing in high school. People were saying, no, idiot, it's Nike. And I'm like, yeah, of course, I know. We convinced my friend once, or my friend convinced my friend. Fuck it. But anyway, Bose speakers, they're amazing sound. If you're looking for great quality speakers, look no further than Bose. Honestly, they're fucking great. Go to Bose.com right now to get anything you want. No promo code, nothing like that. But if you're in the market for speakers, honestly, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to go wrong with those speakers. They're clear. They're loud. They'll get bangs on your wall if you live in New York City. But the bangs won't be like, turn off that music. It'll be like, you know, put something else on because it's so clear, even through the walls. Bose speakers, everybody. Pick them up now. Bose. Bose.com, and they also have headphones and tons of other shit, wireless headphones, portable speakers, everything you want to be a hero for music. It's Bose. Also, I guess, let's make this sponsored by Grace Fierce, NYC. We'll talk about it a little bit. It used to be Bikram LES. The name has changed to Grace Fierce because of stuff that I will cover in the outro. Oh, do you guys know about Bikram? I'm going to cover it in the outro. It's nuts. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 310. And I'm sorry I haven't had this shit up lately, but this new fucking GarageBand, even Logic Pro, I'm not used to it, and I don't like it. I like the old early GarageBand, not even the last fucking update they did before I lost it this time, and I can't make any of this stuff I do. I knew how to make this podcast, and you're like, why don't you just let somebody else do it? I don't want someone else to do it. I like being in control of the music and where it comes in and out, but I want it to be easy. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to mess with Logic Pro and see if I can fucking get the hang of that. But nothing's as intuitive and as easy as that old GarageBand from fucking 4 years ago, 5 years ago. For my purposes, that's exactly what I need. So thank you for somebody for giving me a crack of Logic Pro. but it's still not, it's just not any better. I can't see it as well. I can't see the levels as well. I don't know how to fucking mess with the AU peak limiter. Like I messed with the other one. Ugh. Why don't you use this? Why don't you use this? Because your sound quality sucks and I don't fucking like it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Either less podcasts or fucking figure it out. So, I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 310, Hot Yogi with Trisha Donegan from Grace Fierce, NYC. Excuse me, Fierce Grace, NYC. Starts now.
Baby, bend over. Baby, bend over. Baby, bend over. Let me see you do that yoga. Baby, bend over. Baby, bend over. Baby, bend over. Let your booty do that yoga.
Before this, I practiced in like Southeast Asia a little bit when I was fucking around.
It's a good place to fuck around.
Yeah. Have you been?
Certain places.
There's a lot of white women teaching yoga out there.
There's a lot of white women teaching yoga in general.
And everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. What is that? There's like way more women teaching than men. I don't know about way more.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I know that there's more women practitioners than men in general.
There are.
Especially for asana. I would be curious to know the breakdown of gender and asana versus meditation.
What's asana?
The physical postures.
Okay.
Are called the asanas, where meditation is more savasana. So it's interesting when you break down yoga, like what is yoga? Is it physical asana or is it meditation or is it, what is it?
Yeah.
What's the balance?
Yeah, when I was little, I just saw it as like those yogis sitting with their lotus, with their fingers up, and just sitting there for 14 hours.
Right, like in a cave. Like they have to remove themselves from actual life to go in a cave. But now, as modern people, we want to actually move with each other to be more connected. So, yeah, traditionally, like when we were both young, that's what we thought of yoga. Either like incense, crossed legs,
incense.
In a cave, not really moving.
Yeah.
And so now, in my, not necessarily opinion, but experience, I went to school for psychology.
Really?
And I finally found the right room to do it in. You know,
what,
in psychology, everyone comes to get fixed. And I feel like, you know, don't get me wrong, psychology out there, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Keep on it. But I found in my practice that everyone came to get fixed and not to be healed. And so I finally found the room to work my psychology, and that's a yoga room where I think it's more about moving meditation and moving connection, so when you leave you can actually keep going to your therapist if you'd like, you know. But basically, if you want something fixed, go see a therapist.
If break that down.
Dream, come see me.
Yeah. What's the difference between being fixed and getting healed? Break that down for me. I like that.
You know, and this is now just Trisha talk.
Okay, sure.
So it's Trisha's opinion.
Okay.
But I feel the more I try to fix things, the more pressure I put on myself. And if I just relax and surrender, then I can start to heal things. And it's more of an observational to really connect with yourself rather than to see yourself, be critical, fix this, fix that. But to observe yourself, feel what you need to do, heal it. And like just the other day, like I noticed that you bring your arms down every time in Half Moon.
I get tired.
It's tired.
I get worn out.
It's valid.
Yeah.
It's valid, but you got to get out of your own way.
Yeah.
It's valid.
Like you said it with a smile too.
It's valid.
Today's we're going to do everything. All right, today's the day you're going to hold that up. And I'm like, yep.
And just for today.
Yeah.
Because if you feel like it's going to be every day, it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too much. But allowing yourself just that one, I would say, part of like, oh, this is who I can be.
Yeah.
It would be more divine truth or divine pride, and that's sort of what you want to chase. And that's not something you can fix. Like, you can't fix your karma,
right?
But what I found is, because then you just beat yourself up all day long, I found you just can't you got to do something different right now.
You ever hear the starfish thing?
What's that?
You ever hear the starfish thing?
Is it a joke?
No.
It sounds dirty already.
It's not. It's two men were walking down the beach, and then there's all these starfish washed up, and one guy picks up a starfish and like throws it back in the water to save it, and the other guy's like, "What are you doing? You can't save all these starfish. It won't make a difference." And he was like, "It makes a difference with that starfish."
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
And I think what makes more of a difference is that it's those little moments, and that you can't fix the entire world at once. You can't fix all your problems, or like if you go to a therapist, they're not going to fix it for you. You're going to learn about yourself.
Yeah.
It's more about observing and healing, you know. And I would even say like it even wasn't about that starfish. It was about that person taking that moment at that minute and doing exactly what they think they can.
Yeah.
And doing it when someone else thinks it doesn't matter. And I bet that second guy walked away and maybe we'll pick up a starfish now.
Maybe, yeah.
And it has nothing to do with that particular starfish. It just actually has to do with, like, not changing the way people think, but allowing people to feel what they can offer will make a difference.
It's kind of the way you are with the girls' school.
The girls' school, man. I mean, the Lower East Side Girls Club. I mean, talking about white women, talking about white people. These are girls who live in the ghetto, who have no services, have to fight for everything they have, and I've never met people more grateful because they have the tools in front of them, and they're not trying to fix themselves. They're just trying to be curious and enjoy these tools and empower themselves.
Brain tools, you mean?
Brain tools, well-being tools. I mean, well-being tools are for your brain.
Yeah.
You know, for your brain and your body. And a lot of times we separate the two, which we have to. But this yoga is the first thing I've ever done on this planet that you have to connect both of them, the brain and your body. And I have not found anything else on this planet that does that, or that the object is you. You know, chess works your brain. The object is not necessarily the brain, but it's about strategy. It's about moving. It's about thinking. Yoga, the object is you. It is absolutely you.
Yeah.
Yoga is nothing until you step yourself into it.
Is there no yoga theory?
Of course there's yoga theory and yoga therapy and yoga philosophy and yoga lineage. And I like all therapies. But I feel like in the yoga room, rather than talk therapy, when you connect your body moving with your dreams, your mind, it changes the way you think. And it will change how you think about yourself, what you say, and how you would respond if you were into a different traditional therapy rather than this kind of therapy.
How did you move from that, from philosophy? I mean, from psychology? Is that what you said?
Psychology. I had psychology and social work.
And then,
I used to work in domestic violence when I first came out of school.
Oh, fun!
Very fun. very fun. And
Jesus.
I realized very quickly that the people I was trying to protect was also the system that was trying to bring them down. And it's interesting. You know, we all want to have the resources we need and believe in the systems for the better person, for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But that just does not sometimes work out. If that worked out, we would all have healthcare, we would all have a house, we would all have this accessible to us.
Yeah.
And that's why I chose to come out of the therapy that I was in, I was dealing with, psychology and social work, and move into a different arena and meet those same people and work with them differently.
Were you getting frustrated?
Not only was I getting frustrated, but I was, you know, for lack of a better word, I was banging my head up against the system. And so I was like, the system is, I know a better way.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take it to this room and the yoga room where it is safe and it is a haven and anyone can come in and it's a level playing field. It doesn't no matter how much money you have, how much little money you have, you know, the heat kind of breaks it down for everybody.
Yeah, man. You're not immune to it. You don't get on zone.
No one has leverage. Everyone gets in there skinny, fat, old, well, not well. It's like the only melting pot that I know of that everyone can come in and not have an advantage over anyone. And the advantage is commitment, consistency, pride, hard work, and
yeah,
that costs nothing. And so when we talk about the girls from the Girls Club, that's what they have.
Drive.
They have drive. They have hard work. Now they have the resources because we've created them for them. And through my experience, rather than fighting the system,
yeah,
we created a new system.
Hell yeah.
We said,
I'm a believer that government's broken, so let's just like do it ourselves. They're not going to help us.
You know, you have to play the game,
yeah,
you know, but also you have to create your own safety, your own haven, your own, you know, it's interesting. I mean, like how we started this conversation, like traditionally the old leaders used to have to remove themselves from society, go in a cave to connect.
Yeah.
We don't have that luxury, or we don't choose that luxury. We don't want to remove ourselves from society, from, quote, the noise, to try to connect ourselves. So we go, quote, inside and share it outside, you know, inside, outside.
Were those old yogis, were they like, you know how you like went to the top of a mountain and visited a wise man? Was that what they did too? Did people come to them for like advice, or was it just like for themselves?
I can't.
Do you know the history of it at all?
I mean, I know that, you know, people climb up mountains to get hugged by women. You know, you know, that'd be awesome. I would climb up a mountain for that. You know?
You would.
You know, I'm sure there's many fables about climbing up the mountain, having the one question you ask, and then him go like, try again, come back 100 years later, get a better question, you know? Because, I mean, the truth is, you know, talking about government, talking about broken, talking about, you know, copyrights, even talking about copyrights on yoga series.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the truth is, no matter what you own your own wisdom. And you truthfully know the answers. And we put all these people on pedestals, whether we call them pedestals, mountains, podiums, even the yoga studio. We have them rise above everyone else. And it's just your own guru, your own president, your own wise self. You are your own. You're the only thing you own.
So when did you, I like that. I like that.
You know, and it's, we worry, we get so stressed out and so much pressure, and that's when perhaps our wise self loses the voice and we get distracted in what we need to keep up with and what we need to own. But like, all that's, you can't take any of that with you.
Yeah.
I don't even own my own kid.
You know
what? She owns herself.
Oh, yeah.
She owns herself. I truly believe that she knows better for herself than I do.
Sometimes, right? You don't know your own body. Like, I mean, you know your own body better than anybody else would.
And I'm here to guide her and to give her the right resources, just like I'm here to guide people in yoga, to give them the right resources. We all need guidance. We need to, you know, I require a lot from myself and other people, but not instantly demand it. So that would be, to me, a quick fix, like an instant demand.
Do it this way.
Do it this way because you're doing it wrong. I mean, that's a lot to unravel.
But they don't teach them anything if they just like tell them what to do, then they don't grow.
You know, I don't know who it was. It could have been me. I don't know. But like the most famous guru quote, and like I said, it could have been me, is like, no one wants to learn what you want to teach them.
Yeah.
But everyone will watch very closely what you do. It's just about being an example. And it reminds them of, oh, right, we all know what to do as adults. We just all need reminders.
Yeah.
Because we all get distracted.
See somebody doing it right, and you're like, oh, yeah, I should do that. Or even doing it wrong, and you're like, oh, I don't want to be that guy, but I am that guy sometimes.
And it's okay to be that guy sometimes. Yeah. And it's okay to be that girl sometimes who, like, and that's when, quote, you know, the non-judgment has to come up. You know, those feelings are valid. Don't judge them. Don't fix them. Observe them. And then release them. You know, let
it's
it
Buddhism,
go.
Right?
It could be Buddhism, it could be Yogi, it could be it could be Ari, it could be Trisha, it could be, you know.
Doesn't really matter.
Don't quote anything I say.
Yeah.
Don't quote anything I say. You know? But I do fully believe that we can get each other to do more than we think we can, and not by pushing or fixing or competing, but more about being compassionate, more about being forgiving, generous, and just observing ourselves. You know, you have perhaps you have no idea that you bring your arms down every single time.
I know. I'm like, how do these people keep it up every time? My arms are so tired. They're burning.
I mean, breathe through it.
Yeah. I did last time. I mean, it got to the shakes by the end, but I got it.
There you go. There you go.
It was like 1 second, shake it off, then put it back up. But you're right.
Like, you know, and that's
everyone else is doing it. So it's like, not like I'm not capable.
Everyone else is doing it, and we all are doing it, and we've all got issues, you know, whether it's man issues, woman issues, you know, gay issues, straight issues, transgender issues, Republican issues. Well, if you're a Republican, that's your fucking problem. That's an issue. You know, but we've all got issues, you know, mortgage issues, rent issues, New York issues, L.A. issues, FOMO issues. I actually had to look up FOMO because I thought I was missing out on something. And that's a real. That's for real. That's for real.
That's the biggest problem.
And then when I looked it up, I was like, shit.
You got me. Yeah.
You know.
So how did you go from like, so you, what, you started practicing? I mean, at first you started just taking yoga and then eventually got better?
I was an athlete in college. I was played soccer, so I was not flexible at all. I was super muscular. I'm 5 foot nothing, but I talk like and walk like I'm 6'10".
Yeah.
I shot the ball into the net. I scored. I could score balls very well, kick balls very well. And then so I went to school for soccer, and I got out of there, and I went straight to Atlanta. And this is a whole different story.
Yeah.
But basically, my life or I was a huge activist trying to fix things and trying to fight the system. And that's why
college.
I got worn out or that age or whatever. And I found out that there was a better way. And this is, and every time you do the best, that's a better way. So when I moved to Atlanta post-college, I wanted to open up communities and didn't know what that meant or how to do it. And so I wrote President Clinton a letter. He was having 8 entrepreneurial grants for young entrepreneurs,
really?
Who wanted to do things in empowerment zones so the gentrification would stop. And so I wrote him. I had gone through, you know, when I first got out of college, I worked at California Pizza Kitchen because that's what people do, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what everyone told me to do. That's what everyone was doing.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. And so I got into the food business and I'm like, I can do this a better way. And so I said, I want to open up restaurants in communities. I want to have the community open them
run
up
it.
For me.
Yeah.
So I went into an empowerment zone, East Atlanta, because everything happens on the east side. And
that's where we are now, yeah.
I was, you know, the only white person in that neighborhood. I just graduated college. I looked a lot different. I had a shaved head. I was very tough, very tough.
Really?
And basically, I wanted to create these restaurants, and everyone said I could not do it. And I said, fuck you, I'm going to do it. Because I'm young, I'm fearless, I'm imaginative, and this has got to happen. And I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's got to happen. I want to have, you know, healthy food accessible to everyone. And so it was called the Heaping Bowl and Brew. I did it with a couple of partners, and President Clinton gave me the grant.
Really?
He gave me the grant.
Wow.
So we opened up 3 restaurants, quote, in the ghetto. I bought my house in the ghetto. I lived in it with the community. And so part of the grant was I had to hire everyone in
from there.
From there. So
did they accept you?
Of course. So not yeah. only did we... Oh, well, did the neighborhood accept
yeah.
me? Not at first. Not at first. I was young. I was white.
An outsider.
And I was an outsider.
Yeah.
But I bought my house in there. And so that helped. So it wasn't just me coming in telling them what to do for better lives. It was me working with them because I wanted truly this to happen. And it wasn't just a press story, even though it became huge press. And it wasn't for the real estate developers, even though that's where it went. So what we did, no one else thought we could do it, was I opened up restaurants. Everyone who owned houses in that neighborhood, you know, when we went in to quite bring in the new stuff, what happens is the neighborhood gentrifies.
Yeah.
Everyone who owns the places get displaced. So our idea, my idea
yeah.
was, so we go in the neighborhood, quote, we unfortunately gentrify it. We take all those people out of those houses. We build condos, which we did. We gave them jobs in the restaurant. We gave them healthy food. So not only were we able to bring up the neighborhood, we brought those people that were in those houses, we put them in condos that they owned
oh.
and that they could take care of because they couldn't take care of their houses
but now they
anymore.
Have jobs.
Give them jobs. They had healthy food. They were set. And it was something that no one else thought we could do. And we did it. And we did it 3 times. Real estate developers got involved with us because, of course, once you start working like that,
yeah.
you get tax breaks, everything happens for real estate developers, and you start to play that game. So, you know, you do need to have a balance of using perhaps the government,
yeah.
you know, the city. Just you got to use it your own way. So I went them. And they thought it was great because they got tax breaks. But I just moved the neighborhood into a better situation.
Wow.
And we did it 3 times in Atlanta. When I came to
three different neighborhoods?
3 different neighborhoods. East Atlanta, Decatur, and Oakhurst. And it was all called the Heaping Bowl and Brew. Because everyone feels better. Everything feels better in a bowl when you perhaps don't have a lot.
Yeah.
And you get to hold it and you get to build it. And you build it. And so I created a system where, you know, in the neighborhood you could get fat off of $5. And then everyone who came in from outside the city paid $55 for that bowl, basically.
Really?
They put
you
on,
made like discounts for, or not even
discounts? Not even discounts. I just added it on.
Affordable
for
people
they
here?
They got it. They worked it out.
That's how Orthodox Jews, by the way, you're not allowed to charge interest and loans to other Jews. And people go like, is that fair to charge interest to others? You're like, no, you're supposed to charge interest. Otherwise, why would you loan stuff? But to your brother, you're supposed to be like, no, I'm not taking from you.
It's not even that. They earned it.
Yeah.
They don't need
Right.
They don't need a discount. They don't need it. They earned it themselves. They've upped their level. They've upped their value. Just like the girls in the Girls Club. We're not giving them things that we don't need anymore or discounted. We're giving them things we want.
Yeah.
We want. And that's what makes the difference. And that's what people feel, whether you're an outsider or an insider. You have to take your time, but I give what I want. Those girls, we don't give them, like I just said, like what we're done with, what we don't need, what we can part with. That's not cool.
Yeah.
They have a planetarium in there. We did everything that Bloomberg would not do for the Lower East Side Girls Club. We have a planetarium in there. We've got a Jimi Hendrix sound booth. We've We've got engineering in there. We've got a bio bus in there. We're talking empowerment tools.
Wow.
We're talking skills. You know, we're talking that we're not just babysitting girls from the ghetto, but we're giving them what we want. We're giving them
stuff
jobs.
You would have wanted to when you were little.
And that's the thing. It's like when all these
instead
successful
like
women come in to talk about it and to be on that, who are on the board, white, you know, again, white women who have are successful in their careers, these girls have more confidence than any of us.
Mm.
It's not because they don't have anything to lose. They know what they have in front of us. They know what they have in front of them. A lot of times we don't know what we have in front of us. Or we take it for granted.
Or we
get used to it. Or we've had health care for a very long time. And now all of a sudden, things are different for a lot of people.
Yeah. Wait, so how'd you go from there, from Atlanta, to teaching a
person? I moved here for love.
Oh, okay. That's why everybody moves to LA or New York.
Right?
Running away from a girl or boy, or running to a girl or boy?
And now it could be running from a boy to a girl from a boy, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then what? Then when was yoga?
So the first year I opened up the restaurants in Atlanta. I graduated from college in '93, so it was '95. I opened up the restaurants.
Yeah.
And that's when I started taking the yoga.
Okay.
And it was from the person that has all the good advice and wisdom, of course, your hairdresser. He said, come here, Trisha, let's do this. And I had never, I'd always physically exercised, and I always had tried to use my brain separately, and both worked really well separately. And when I hit the restaurant business, I was like, wow, I need to exercise and relax, and I don't have time to do both. How do I do this? And he's like, come with me. And I was like, I'll do whatever you say. Your hair is so pretty. I like what you've got. Okay. And he took me to my first class, and it was, like I said, I was a physical athlete. And I'd never tried anything that was so hard. And I came back every day after that. I just loved it so much. The connection that you immediately try to create for your brain and your body to work as one is instant in that room. And then that's forever a challenge and a curious challenge. And it's incredible because you can never get used to it or immune to it. Your brain is different every day. Your body is different every day.
Yeah, some days are good. Some days are like, wow, I can't stretch at all.
It's like, you know, it's like everyone, sometimes people are like, aren't you bored of doing the same 26 postures over and
that's
over?
That's what everybody says.
And I'm like, no one dares ask me if I get bored of having the same daughter. No one dares. No one dares. Or, you know, no one dares. And that's pretty much why people can't talk. Like, I'm the only one who can talk in class, you know, because the dialogue would be a little bit funny. But, you know, and sometimes, you
know. I'm
going
to start asking people that.
You know, sometimes, like, okay, we can make it dirty. We could talk about no one asks if you're bored with your husband, your wife, or whatever. And then, you know, the story is good. But, you know, sometimes you do. And you, what do? You put on a funny wig. You put on some different clothes. You spice it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You do the same thing in yoga, you know, like
you're a different teacher,
you know,
today or tomorrow.
If Ari's head's not working, then Ari should call himself Stewie And then maybe Stewie can come and take over because Ari's shoulders are so tired.
Really? You do that?
I mean, delegate some of that stuff. I mean, how many personalities do you have, Ari? I mean, I know you've got
probably
a big one.
Yeah, probably hundreds if I get in there, little pieces of me that are different.
Yeah, so, and it's always, you know, so it's always the, all the voices are important. But sometimes that bigger voice has to come in when the little voices are tired and not demand the little voices to shape up.
Yeah.
But to, and not to coax them or coddle them, but to encourage them.
I like what I didn't expect. I knew it would be hard physically, and then the schwitzing would be, you know, its own thing. Although,
well, yeah,
I'm a Jew, so I've been schwitzing for, you know, decades. But, like, I didn't expect to, like, when I hit back Savasana, it's like my mind starts going like I'm in meditation. I just start thinking about, it's almost like a clarity. Maybe it's getting away from cell phones or something.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I ask my, you know, the people who work in the studio, you know, sometimes the people who bar or work study or whatever, and they do a 5-hour shift. I'm like, what would you think if I forced you to have no phone for 5 hours once a week? And they're like,
right?
They're like, and I'm like,
Jesus.
I'm like, what's that response for? And they're, and today someone said, well, I like to be plugged in. I'm like, plugged into what? And she literally said nothing.
Plugged. I want to be plugged into nothing.
And
a power source.
And so I just let her talk, and I'm like, plugged into what? And she's like, nothing. And I'm like, okay. And then another woman said, well, I like to be connected. What if my family needs me? And I'm like, you've been working here for 2 years. Has your family ever contacted you on your cell phone in these 2 years while you're working? She's like, no. So it's just.
So then what are you talking about?
So, and it's, so we just are so now programmed to not even to listen to ourselves talk. And I used to say, I don't know what I'm thinking until I hear myself talk out loud. But now I like to taste what I have to say before I spit it out.
So you know, because like sometimes if you do that, you're like, man, that was an idiot who just said something.
Man, that was an idiot move, and it's okay, you know? I'm not going to trust anyone who can't make a mistake. You know, so
I love when you say something just in the spur, like it just comes and you say it, and then people look at you like, let me take that back. That didn't sound right at all. I'm not going to stand by that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know, but halftime in the room, like people only, you know, people want to hear what they want to hear, and so like some people hear what you said, some people don't. And then when you say you're sorry, then everyone hears what you said.
Yeah. It's so powerful, that word. No one uses it.
How, it's interesting. We're teaching in sports, we have to train girls not to say they're sorry. We don't have to train boys. We have to train girls.
To not say it?
To not say you're sorry.
About everything?
On everything. Like, excuse me works better. You know.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Girls are, like, it just, like, that's in their brains, in our brains.
Yeah. Another word like that is just. I'm just doing this. It's like, don't minimize it. You're doing that.
Or that's just how Trisha is. Or that's just how Ari is. Like putting you in this little container.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
Drop it off. That's how Ari is. That's how Trisha
is. I do believe that people can change and things change.
Right. When you say just, you've now accepted it too, where it's like, you're not going to change it all. That's just how it is.
And then you kind of give
and
up. And you give up. And a lot of times we see that in people, and we call that perhaps laziness, but I think laziness is just a symptom of hopelessness. And I really think that's when you try to fix things, you immediately go to the symptoms and you never dig deep to the root. And the root is perhaps that person has no hope. And so it appears to be lazy. And if we just try to fix the laziness, we're missing the boat and probably not really making that person feel very good. Because it's really about hope.
Yeah.
And the more and more you surrender and the more you heal yourself, the possibility of joy and power is always there. And it is real. And every time I go to the girls' club, you know, we all think about, what am I gonna give to them? And every time, just sort of like you said in Savasana, every time I'm there and walk out, I'm like, wow, I feel almost like a thief because I just take. It's so generous there.
Yeah.
I just take and take and take. You know, and I'm just like, wow.
They don't even know what you're getting from them.
And they know. They're good. They're giving it. I'm not stealing it. But I feel so, you know, it's just like, damn, they are so inspirational. Because they know the tools they have in front of them. Because they didn't have them at one point.
Right, and they're not taking it for granted.
They know what they got. And they are not going to miss that opportunity. Where as adults, as New Yorkers, I feel like we run so fast, we miss opportunities that are right in front of our face all the time.
It's crazy. I date younger women a lot because whatever. I don't know. Whatever. I just do. But
it's amazing sometimes you go to like Korean barbecue or something, like, wow, this is so cool. They cook at your table and you're like, oh yeah. Because I went last week and I was like, come on, hurry up, ready. And it's like, yeah, you get this like, you're like, yeah, I got to stop taking this shit for granted. Or somebody new to New York and like, look at all this architecture. And like, yeah, I pass by this every day and it's, don't even think about
like
it.
Like it's brand new every day.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You should give yourself amnesia every morning.
Yeah, right?
Seriously. Forget about what you think you already know. Forget about what your how tired your shoulders are.
Yeah.
Forget about like the speed up of the Korean barbecue because it's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every time I do that, like I literally went and bought a watch so I would put my phone away so I could talk to my daughter and I could be with myself. But it is, and it's like, even this, wow. I feel such great energy from you. This is important, and I didn't think I would have time to do this today.
Yeah,
every time we don't think we have time to do something, we blow it. And every time we try to, for me, try to make it something that we want it to be, it limits it. I had no idea what this would be like. I had no idea what would happen. I have no idea what will come out of it.
Yeah.
But I've gotten something that I didn't think I would, sitting here with you.
Yeah, it's nice. Have you ever seen, when I get the one pose I do where I feel like I'm going to pass out is, and I don't understand why, I'm on my knees, doing the hands on the back, leaning backwards.
Camel.
And I get lightheaded, and I'm like, I'm going out.
Yes. Yes.
Have you seen people pass out?
I have not seen people pass out in camel. I'm not going to lie. Like people, and I'm not going to say people fake a faint with the good-looking teachers to pick them up and carry them out. Or they're like, I'm going to faint or I'm going to die. I'm like, no, you're not going to be that lucky. You got to finish. Sorry. But camel is sort of like, I feel the posture like New York sometimes. It like, we feel like it's personally designed to make us give up. And it's not only the strong survive. It's like you go into that fight or flight. With your spinal cord all the way back, your heart all the way up, it's pretty vulnerable. You don't spend much time during the day like that, no. With your head back, upside down, your heart up, you know, it's a little bit unprotected, you're very vulnerable. You either want to fight or flight, so you either want to fight it, which makes you even more tense, or you want to get out of it, flight, like the old, you know, traditional, you know, fight or flight syndrome.
But you literally get the stars.
You literally get the stars, and then all of a sudden we're like, we freak out, and we want to come out. Why?
Yeah, just,
you know, it's, you got to go through the colors, and you got to take your time, and you will feel intense.
So you've never seen anybody, not in any pose, just like...
Oh, in some poses, but not in camel. I've never seen someone faint in camel.
But you have in other poses?
Of course.
They just pass out, they just go.
Eagle's a big one, because you're tourniqueting everything.
Which one's the eagle?
The wrap the arms around the legs and sit your hips down. And
oh, yeah.
The one right before balancing series. Because you're really, it's a tourniquet effect, and you're cutting off the blood supply, you know. And so you're squeezing tightly. And so if you've got...
That's this leg over here?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
You know, if someone faints from the studio, most likely...
I get in that one? Yeah.
It'll be after that one.
And then what happens when they faint? That's got to be crazy. I mean, that's got to disrupt class.
You know, it depends. Like, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, just drag them out. We'll keep going. Sometimes, you know, they're like, oh, they want to come back. They're like, sometimes, you know, hopefully it...
They wake
back
up again.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, they'll wake up.
Have you ever heard of anyone dying in any yoga class? You have.
Yes, I have. Not in my studio, knock on wood. But you know what? I hope that's how I go.
In a yoga class?
Hell yeah.
Why not?
That's how my little brother went. He died going skiing.
Really?
He died doing what he, on his way, doing something he loved.
Skiing is fun.
And he died 6 months into me opening up this studio. And he was the kind of guy that made every room better. And he really used his 31 years of life on this planet. And it still resonates because he took advantage of every moment of his life.
What was he doing? Skiing in the woods?
He was one of those backcountry skiers. He was a rock climber. He was so adventurous. It made my mother crazy how risky he was. And of course, it was in a car.
It was what?
It was in a car on the way to the slopes.
Oh, really?
You know, so he did all this adventure, all this fearless, enjoyed nature, moved to Denver, got a job to be there, and he did everything. And so it's a... So I just—he's made every space he has been to, he has made better.
I think it's worse to die when you're 70 and you didn't do shit for the last 30 years because you're at work for some guy.
I'm sure at the end of the day that's not pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, I think Brian was taken too early, but like a lot of people were on this planet. But the people who are on this planet are here for a reason. I need them on mats. I need them on the Lower East Side. I need them on this planet. I need them.
Do you ever get... I just have questions about yoga in general. Do you ever get, like, really smelly people?
Okay, let's just... smelly people.
Like, there's times where I'm running out in the morning, and I'm like, okay, let me go to class. I'm like, oh, no, wait, deodorant. Don't be an idiot. There must be people who don't.
Deodorant. I mean, I like this. All right. PSA, you know, please wear deodorant, everyone. Like, please don't wear, like, you know, too intense of anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, you know, if you stink, it's your diet and your attitude. That's my opinion.
Some people never shower. You sat on the bus next to those people and I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
I don't know. That's beyond yoga. You know, but you should be able to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Especially just the important parts.
I haven't smelled anybody down there. But I know there'd be a moment where I'd be like, I gotta move seats. On planes, I've done that.
You know, people release stuff. They gotta, you know.
The gas.
You know, you gotta get stuff out. And
I haven't seen one gas.
You haven't seen 11, one gas?
No, you know what I mean. When somebody's like, my friend's doing it in L.A., the same stuff as much as they can, 15 times in October. Yeah. And he's like, I get gas in the face all the time. I haven't heard it once.
No.
I haven't smelled it once.
No, that's L.A.
That's L.A.?
That's L.A.
Because they're always eating protein bars.
Yeah, we know how to do it here. We know how to get through here in New York City.
Yeah. You're so close to everybody. You got to, like, be aware.
But are you on a challenge?
Yeah.
What's your challenge?
My fucking alcoholic fat friend, Bert Kreischer, said he was like, he challenged us to a marathon. And we're like, Bert, you can't do a marathon. That's just, you're being ridiculous. And so we're like, how about you just stop drinking for a month? And then, I don't know how, but then this got lumped in with it. I don't know how I got lumped in with it, but
you got to be in it.
Yeah.
You got to be in it.
So no drugs or anything for the month.
And so how long have you been on this challenge?
Since October 1st.
And today's the 20th.
Yeah, I did a bunch of Molly and mushrooms the day before.
So it was kind of coming through till October 10th.
Yeah, the first day I was less,
so
letting stuff out.
So now you're like, so how do you feel?
I feel great. I've lost probably, I'm not fat. I'm in fine range anyway, but I probably lost 7 or 8 pounds.
How does your brain feel?
Clearer.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, really, just forcing yourself to get out. It's the same as a sauna, to a degree, where it's like, you can't be on that fucking thing. That thing is awful. So it forces you to get off it for 90 minutes, plus the ride over here and the way back. And then when I walk, it's been so nice this October. I mean, it's been great. And I walk back up to 12th, and I just, like, I don't touch my phone. I just kind of, like, think and look at stuff.
You have more time.
Yeah. I like it, man.
Nice.
It's been pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, the weather's going to be like this as long as you feel good, Ari. So it's all up to you. I'm just telling you, it's all up to you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
As soon as the weather turns, we're like, oh, he fell.
I got to
look down. But that dude in L.A., he fucked up the challenge.
Yeah. I'm going to Amherst tomorrow, so I got to leave town until November 6th. But, like,
all right.
I'll take the weather with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I really do. It's like...
You like life, I feel.
Man, you got it, Trish. I do.
Things are fucking
great. I don't have a job, you know? You're the same way. You have a weirdo job like me.
I do have a weirdo job. I have a weirdo job that I opened up for, the same as I opened up the restaurants in Atlanta. I opened up just same way that we did the Girls Club. You know, we own property in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, we started in a shopping cart, and now we own 20,000 square feet. At 30,000 square feet, $20 million project on Avenue D between 7th and 8th. And we are giving we are creating services, just like I created services in Atlanta. Well-being services, accessible for everyone. Well-being has become a privileged,
that's
you know,
nuts.
State.
That's
and
nuts.
It's and so what I can do in this community is offer well-being to make it accessible for everybody. And that is what we've tried to do, and that's what we have done. And even you, without a job, has figured out how to get some money out and buy a month here to practice to change your life.
Yeah.
That helps someone else change their life. You know, you split the room in half. Half the room pays this much. Half the room pays this much. And it all works out.
Billy Joel does this thing where he doesn't like, if you ever go to concerts, the most expensive seats are up front, but those people are the lamest. So he saves the first two rows and goes to the back, sends his roadies to the back, and brings some people up to the first two rows.
That's
so
cool.
So we can actually have a party.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The corporate front seats are never, you know.
God.
It's always energy. You know, it's energy that will change things. And it's never money. Money brings resources, you know, but now we have figured out how to make resources accessible. But when I always make have a hard decision, and I'm, you know, maybe this is why, but I think about the same decision whether I had all the money in the world or no money in the world. And that really helps me get to the root of it.
That's
what
I try to
really
do for my stand-up, where it's like, don't tell me what the money is. Tell me the offer, like where I'm going, what the club is. And then I'll say, yeah, I'm sure you'll get me the most money you can. But, like, I don't even want to think about that. If it's, like, not the right thing to do, let's just not do it.
Do it for the right reason.
And, like, well, they're paying you $5 million. Now, it's never been that. But, like, I was still,
don't,
like, I already
don't
said
say
no.
Never.
I already said no.
Don't say never.
Yeah.
But if you always do it for the right reason, the right people, you will attract the right
matter.
People.
Then the money doesn't even matter.
It doesn't. You're going
to
get your...
It's nice to have.
All day long, you're going to the poorhouse, you're going to the rich house. You're going to the poorhouse to the crazy house. The rich house, the poorhouse, the crazy house. Going up and down, up and down, up and down. And you just keep your heart in the right place, and you will attract the right people.
Anybody can do this Bikram yoga, right?
Everybody should do this Bikram yoga. We're going to call it something besides Bikram, though.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
How are you guys dealing with that?
We're dealing. You know, everyone is rebranding.
Is he suing people that do the teaching anyway? Is that what's going
to
happen?
He doesn't have time to sue anybody. He's got his own problems.
Is it a question of you guys, and by you guys, I mean you and like the people who own all the studios here and all across America and whatever, just say, hey guys, let's just get one name.
We've tried to do that. It's, you know, it's more, that's more of a big money problem, more situation, to be honest with you. And that's where it becomes about money and not about what the yoga's about.
Well, like...
And you get those people involved.
We have to, like,
we've had certain organizations to pull us together. There's one called OHYA, Original Hot Yoga Association. Val from Pasadena created that, and it's great.
She's the one I met yesterday?
She is,
Oh, cool. She
owns a studio in Pasadena, OHYA. There's other platforms that we've created to keep in communications with. We all love this series.
You got to change the name, though, right?
But we all have to change that. We have to change the name because it is limiting who tries it, and
now,
that's the bottom line.
Because when I first heard about it, I don't know, when I was in whatever grade, I wasn't like that's a person. I was just like that's a name of a thing, I guess. So
right.
It doesn't really have the meaning of it comes down from this dude,
right?
So then you may as well just make another title.
Yeah, no, but you always do like. I always feel like I would like to know where it comes from, like who created it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just me being too personal. To do that in every company.
Yeah, I get that.
I like to know who you are, what you stand for. And then I try it. But I was the same way as you. I tried it without knowing what was behind it. And so it was actually the product that got me into it. The more and more I learned, the more and more I realized it's just about the product. And let me take this, and then the more and more when I opened up a studio, it got very political. And then I was like, well, I cannot continue to do this.
Once you know, like, about what
I mean, I've, you know, but it's been institutionalized, you know, on this planet. And so when it happened, you know, most, you know, we all, you know, we're all...
How long ago did this happen?
We're all a part of it.
Yeah.
We all knew it was happening and at different degrees, and we all needed to stand up, and perhaps we were all scared or all ashamed or didn't know we had power. But
okay, the same thing's happened with Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood. I'm not really in Hollywood. I'm an outsider. Am I talking to my friend about this? Like, barely in, and we sort of knew about it.
Right.
But then it's like, forget that time. We're now in a position where we just don't take shit anymore. Whatever happened before, it's because like you just felt like that was the way.
And there's
so
a better
sort of knew
and there's
it?
A better way. There's always someone who knows about it, or the rumors, or
the
this,
rumors
or that. Like Trump told us what he was going to do, and no one believed it, but then he did it.
Yeah.
He told us what he was going to do, and no one believed it, and then he did it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, and that's the master.
Same as
Cosby,
and then it became like
that's the master of it.
It's clear now. Then you're like, all right, now I have to face it. It must have rocked that yoga world, huh?
It's you know, because but then it also is like, well, did you put so much into that one person that you now like everything has crumbled, or did you taste
right,
the
no.
product and believe in the product? And but I understand it's you know, as a mother, as a feminist, as a woman, as someone who wants to stand up for myself and for others, and like I said, like originally, like not fight the wrong fight. Because that just exhausts you.
Yeah.
But make a better way. And so we're making a better way.
Yeah.
And
sure,
so we will like be that. Rebranding. Actually, we've been doing it for about a year now, but it's almost coming through. It takes that long.
What are you thinking about for a name?
I'll let you know when it happens.
Okay.
I know it.
Okay.
I think you're gonna like it though.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with shoulders. I think you're gonna like it.
Has nothing to do with shoulders?
Nothing to do with shoulders.
Then I would like it.
But it's
so weak.
It's the it's intense. It's intense without the extreme, you know. It requires a lot, but does not demand it instantly. It's really more about, I think, what it should have been.
Yeah.
And what it will be.
Yeah. I've been calling it Hot Yoga this challenge. We don't really even use the name.
Right.
And then I start going like, is there other kinds of hot yoga? And they're like, no, that's it. That's the one.
It's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's pretty much it. I mean, you know, there's vinyasa that's now in heated rooms, which I don't understand really because you don't need heat for vinyasa. But, you know, whatever. It's all good.
When
I love all different kinds
Southeast
of yoga.
In Southeast Asia, my favorite was that yin yoga, where it's like you get to a pose and like, all right, 2-3 minutes, now go a little further. Not 2-3 minutes, now a little further. And it was like, I just really liked it.
Yeah, it takes your time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't waste your time, but you have to take your time. I think it's, there's a jazz musician who came out with AIDS, and I got to look up his name, but he wrote
like
a book
jazz.
That was awesome that, talking about podcasts, bad things happen quickly. Good things happen slowly, so take your time. And he had really, we should look that up. He's a famous jazz musician. Bad things happen quickly.
Okay.
Just look that quote up on podcast or whatever, and he'll come up. But it's, so technology, you know, on our phones, like I would have never heard that podcast before, but I also, you know.
There's good things.
There's good things,
but people go too far.
We always do.
Yeah, a glass of wine's not a problem. But when you have 7 glasses of wine like Kreischer did every single day, then it's like...
then you got to pull it back.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to pull it back.
Yeah. Do you... you can not talk about it, but okay. There's some hot people in those classes.
I mean, there's only hot people in hot yoga. Are you kidding?
Hello?
Hello? I go to work barefoot and try to make hot people feel better.
Yeah.
You know? It's interesting. Like...
I mean, some of those people are like, Jesus
for whatever
Christ,
reason,
man.
For whatever reason, the hotness is their effort. It really is. For whatever, like, and I'm not, like, because I like a hottie.
Yeah.
I like a hot mess. Not a sloppy one, but I like a hot mess.
Yeah.
But when you're in that room, it becomes something different. It really does. We're all like creatures, and we're all like opening, and we're all trying. And it's not that it becomes blended or genderless, but it almost...
It goes away after like the first, for me anyway, like first 3 or 4 minutes. Like you get in your surroundings, you look at the wall, like you said yesterday, and that fog machine or whatever, and then the mirror, and then maybe like the box you're sitting on, and then like, oh, she's hot as fuck. And like, that guy's got a great body. And like, but then after like 5 minutes, you're just like... Hold those arms up. And it just doesn't even matter anymore. Plus, everyone's sweating.
Sexy is confidence, man. Sexy is walking in. Sexy is like, you know, hotness is someone owning what that moment.
Yeah.
Whatever that moment is. That's, to me, that's what sexy is. And I always, when I look in the room, I'm just like, I hope everyone feels as good as they look. Because they are hot. You know, if you work hard, you're going to be hot.
I saw one lady, I did it one time at Bodhi, twice at Bodhi, this will be 10th time here. And she did a thing where you hold your leg up and then your hand straight out.
Yeah.
And I mean, she was parallel and that leg was way up.
Yeah, that's
and I
cool,
was like,
right?
Damn. Yeah,
that's
it looks cool. It looks like a classic car almost, you know?
It's cool. It's fun. Like we can put our feet behind our heads. We can do all that kind of stuff.
You can do that?
Sure. I can do a couple party tricks.
That's what they are.
You know? I can do a couple party tricks. But if you want to do the real stuff, then you do the real stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have your party trick in your profession. I bet you've got a couple party tricks. I bet you can.
Yeah.
You should do a stand up after class.
When everyone's like pooped, eyes are just lying down.
Everyone's just like raw, like they've like, you know. We had this one guy, Christian. He did a play. He created a play about his dad. It was called Dad.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And he did it to the Bikram beat. And he did it in my studio last
really?
Year. Yeah, he's from Copenhagen. It was really cool.
Neat.
It was super awesome. I can't imagine, like, and when he did it in New York outside of the studio, he actually did it the same way. Like, it was about
He did it in the studio?
He did it in the studio.
The
Not in the heat. We turned on the heat, but he brought the show here, and he did the same
cool.
way. Like, it was cool. It was really cool. It was about his story about his dad with cancer. And if he would just been sitting here on the roof like you and I are talking, I wouldn't have felt it. But for whatever reason, since we were doing it in, like, he was doing it in standing head to knee with the same
beat. Oh, he did talking, it while he was doing
it? Talking about
thing?
It. I was just like,
That's nuts.
I've never felt so much like what he had to do for his father. And I would have never had that experience if we were just sitting here talking.
Huh.
You know? But since he put my body in it, and I was vulnerable while he was telling his story, and, like, I didn't back off, I really could feel.
And you guys were all doing the poses with him?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah. And he has taken that show around the world.
That's what I love about New York, weirdo shit like that.
Yeah.
It's just, like, everywhere. You pop
That's
in
why.
And just doing a bluegrass
jam. I need you on
jam.
A mat on the Lower East Side. I need you on a mat in New York City. That's why we're all here.
Yeah.
That's why we're all here, running around trying to make it work. Because it works.
Yeah.
You know, no one can afford to live in New York, but no one can afford not to live in New York.
So much fun.
It's so.
All my friends who get families and move to, like, Westchester, they're like, you get so much room. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And they're like, your apartment's tiny. I'm like, I'm not in my apartment. I'm in Manhattan, man. I'm in my apartment for 17 minutes a day.
When I was in Atlanta, I had a huge house, and I had to clean a huge house.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I had to do. That's what I spent most of my time doing.
You move into your clutter.
I like to mow the lawn and stuff, but yeah, no, like, I don't know. I'm sure my kid would be the same inside New York, outside New York. Not at all, but she's 10. She's a white, left-handed American who speaks Chinese and named her cat Rosa Parks.
Really?
I mean, we're doing something right.
How'd you teach her Mandarin?
I started with sign language, so that was, and then we immersed her into Chinese daycare at 2, like full immersion.
One of my friends who's coming tonight, Rebecca, I met her in Beijing, and she's like beyond fluent in Mandarin.
So is Lula.
Wow. Oh, yeah, at that age, they can pick up anything, right?
Yep. So we started with sign language for her brain to work. That kid learned fine motor skills, knew what she needed. She was hungry. She was tired.
She's
she
deaf?
Was wet. No. No.
Wow.
But before she could talk, we communicated.
Wow.
That kid knows is so aware of her body because she had to learn so quickly. I'm not saying she's never had a meltdown because, you know, meltdowns and breakthroughs look a little bit the same. But
yeah.
But you know, she had there's another baby like right next door that was born 3 months beforehand, and he would cry. The mom would put food in his mouth. Lou would be like,
to shut him up.
Lou would be like, nope, I'm wet. And I'd be like, okay, now I know what to do.
Like Bobo?
Like, you
Coco,
know.
What was it? Who was the, what was the ape?
That's still sign language. Yeah, yeah. You may be younger than me. But it's amazing. I mean, yeah, no. I mean, you can learn anything before you're 2, and you are so honest at 2.
Yeah.
You have everything
oh, yeah.
in front of you.
I'm hungry. Not
That's
like,
it.
I better not say anything.
Not, and she knows when she's full. She knows what she needs. She knows what she wants. She knows how to, you know, and we all do, but we get distracted.
Yeah.
We get distracted.
Hey, what happens in class if you like, it must have happened, where you just gotta piss. You have to pee.
Well, I would like you to leave the room and
yeah,
go
yeah,
pee.
Yeah.
I have known someone who did not.
Just pee themselves?
Yep. In Salabhasana.
Huh?
And I didn't notice it, but he told me afterwards, and I was like, you could have left the room. And he's like, I already did it. And but you know, I've been doing this for so long, I have seen, I would say, everything go down in that room.
Really?
Yep.
What are like some of the weirdest things you've seen?
No.
I mean, no names or anything. The peeing is
where someone would literally do exactly what I said and try. They like, put your hand out, put some money in it. They took some money out of their pocket and put money in their pocket. Bring your hand out, make a triangle shape with your fingers. Like they literally would just try to do every, and it was, came in with like 15 layers of clothes in every posture. They took a little layer off and a little layer off and a little layer off and a little layer off. And I was like, that's interesting.
I love when people like,
but,
do the thing. Don't add.
I would say the funniest thing was, because it went on for so long, is this Russian woman came into class and she was tough and we're like, ooh, Russian, she knows what she's doing. She would wear this big black ski hat over her head. And I'm like, she wants it so hot. She's so demanding. We're so intimidated. Let's let her do whatever she wants, you know? So we let her run the studio when she came in because we were so intimidated. And she was just like, she's so fierce. And then one day she left her thermal hat on the floor. I picked it up and it was frozen. And I'm like, that... And I'm like, and we had like created all this fear around this woman and so intimidated and so like...
Yeah.
So that was not the weirdest, but the funniest thing.
That's
that,
funny.
That kind of happened.
Frozen hat to keep cool. You know, that's like, a good idea.
Exactly. There you go. It's, if you guys start wearing that, someone owes me a dollar. Someone owes me a dollar.
What's a normal... For a new person who's like...
Well, the best is when they don't athlete. Know it's hot. And they come in and, have, and like they're like, it's hot in here? And I'm like, yep. You'll get used to it, honey. Don't worry.
How many days a week would you say you should try start at?
You know, your first week, you want to come in every time. It's like a new job. Come in the first day, you figure out, like just like you said, where you go, who fits where, good part in the room. Come as many times as you want. But 3 times a week is really what you should try to hit.
It's like a norm?
Yeah, you should try to hit that at least 3 times.
I did the first 4 days of the month. I'm pretty glad I did. Where it's like, then it started getting like harder and harder and harder. But it's like, sorry, just get into it.
If you're into it, it'll be easy, it'll be hard, but you just want to make it better. You just want to make it smoother.
Get 22 and a half hours off in between. It's something you can't recoup.
Everyone's got the same amount of time during the day.
Yeah.
Depends how you spend it.
I have way more time. Yeah. Have you ever had to kick anybody out so you can't come back?
I have.
For what, creepiness?
I mean, I've had the studio for what, almost 16 years now, and probably there's only
first
been
of all,
five.
Great job. Oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome. It's an awesome place. Very few people. I'd probably say in the count of my hand, five people.
Yeah.
And it everyone got plenty of warnings.
Really?
Yeah.
Over what? Like what kind of thing do you kick them out for?
One was violent. I won't have that. There's no warning for that.
That doesn't go with it.
But it does come out in this sometimes. And so, you know, but it's not the appropriate place.
I would say not. Yeah.
That was one. Another one I think was, it's more like that. But.
I could see some creeps.
You know.
I could see that.
But the creeps don't last. It's too hard work. It really is.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, and that's the kind of thing.
There's all the it's places you like, can be a creep. It's like, you know, why don't you go through it?
You know, they're mostly, I believe, on the internet now or in, I won't say it. I don't look for them. I don't know where to find them.
That's good.
I don't know where to find them.
How do you tell somebody to leave? What do you say? That must be hard.
Well, if it's a certain situation, one I'd said about, I got the cops involved, so I didn't have to deal with it. I don't need to deal with all of it. I just need to keep my people safe.
Now that I think about it, this must be the worst part of your job. Since you're...
Yeah, what do you think the worst part of my job
having
is?
Having to fire an employee. Because that's so unlike what I think of what you are. and I know as a boss, you must have to. And so it must suck for you.
I think it sucks for anyone who would have to do something like that,
yeah.
Fire someone, break up with someone, quit someone, you know, and you just do it the right way. You do it with precision. You do it with chances. You do it with as long as you're clear with with the requirements and they can't do it. It's not about anything personal.
Yeah.
It's just about perhaps it's not a good fit. But I will stick with someone and give them the tools, and if that doesn't work out, then we'll figure out what will. But you know, it is a business, and it is. I also think, you know, the kindest thing you can do for someone is be direct, and sometimes at that moment they might not feel that.
Yeah, no one takes it well. No, I mean, I'm sure maybe, but like I've never heard of like, oh yeah, for sure I should be.
Yeah,
fired.
For sure. You know, there's
it's all the lateness, right?
Yeah, right.
I was wondering what was coming.
I mean, I kept coming in late, but I just didn't think you were gonna, you know.
I used to answer phones at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, and people would want to make reservations, but we had to do it by hand. And my shift was 9 to 1, and we just go, "Oh no, at 1 o'clock is the reservation guy comes in."
right.
And then at 1 o'clock, you get flooded with reservations. It's like, what is this all the time?
You've learned to work the game.
Yeah, just bad employees.
Exactly.
It's a fun life, though, huh? Like you said,
life is
you
fun.
Go barefoot.
Life is fun. You know. I used to work corporate. I used to put on pantyhose, and that wasn't a good fit.
Women's fashion,
you know,
is so unfunctional and so ridiculous sometimes.
Well, it has changed the yoga. Fashion has changed the yoga with high heels, with this, with that. I mean, it has.
Yeah.
We work through it. We go through it.
What would you say the hardest part of your job is?
The hardest part of the job is, I mean, in the moment, I'm fighting the DOB for Con Ed to get this building's heat back. It's fighting. It's the competition. It's actually running a business while you're creating a compassionate haven for people.
Yeah. When you just want to do this thing, it's like that in stand-up too. I just want to do this thing, and then you're like, but you got to check your emails and do this.
You got to do the things to do your thing, though.
Yeah.
You got to do all the things to do your thing.
Yeah.
And that's where focus comes in, and concentration and dedication and why are you doing it? And
realizing this is worth it for.
And this is what you have to do because what you have to, can't forget about the why.
Yeah.
And and the older, the more experience you get, the smarter you get, perhaps the less more fearful you get, you know, about what you need to kind of hold together. But also, once you get older, your fears are irrational, and I feel like you just got to give your fears love.
What do you mean?
Know? Like, I don't know, if you ask me what my biggest fear would be is, God, I don't even know. Is my biggest fear right now is probably, is that I wouldn't be able to offer the community something. And that's crazy.
Because you can.
Because I can.
Yeah.
Because I've done it before. And I'll do it again.
A bunch of times.
Yeah. That I don't have something to offer. That's silly.
Yeah, it's almost like you get older and you're like, what are you talking about, self? You know that's not true.
I've said that same joke. I've done this. I've said, you know, whatever.
It works. Yeah.
But it works. We complicate things. And then we make it simple.
I used to get so worried following certain comics, like going after them. And then I remember one time going, Ari, you follow that guy 10 times and it always goes well. And you always get nervous and it always goes well. Stop wasting your time.
Just,
and it was just like, let it
just
go.
Just bring your arms up. Just let it go.
I'm doing it today again.
I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Hell
but
yeah.
But yeah, following people, setting up people, supporting people, being the lead, being the backup dancer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and the thing is, it's like, whatever you, it's already set in motion. You know?
What do you mean?
It's already set in motion. That guy's, you're going to follow that guy, you're not going to follow that guy. It's going to happen, it's not going to happen. Like,
right, it's happening.
It's happening.
So, like, what are you doing in your brain?
It's happening.
Go.
It's go time.
Yeah.
And that's when that other voice has to come in.
Yeah,
what should we call your other voice?
When
you hear it in class, you'll know. You'll know. I can't pre-think it. It just has to come out.
All right.
Sure. It's not going to be Stewie, though. No way. Ari's going to be like, I'm not listening to Stewie.
Stewie sounds weird. Plus, I think of Family Guy.
Yeah, that's way too short. Work. Ari's like, I'm not going to listen to that little Stewie guy.
Stewie's a dick.
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be someone fabulous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I can already
picture her. She's going to come out. I know she will.
I'll be a beautiful, powerful lady.
She's not going to be young either.
Really?
Oh, no. No. She's going to... But she's still going to be excited about Korean barbecue.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I want. Someone my age is still excited.
Amnesia every morning. Every morning amnesia, and then every night, that woman should decide if you should get to come home tonight to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like an election every night.
What's that? There's that song, Tears for Fears or something, where it's talking about the woman he wants, and it's like someone who like doesn't think the way he thinks. I never remember the name of this song.
Oh man, if I was so slick, I'd have it out of my and I'd pull understand. It out and, put it at the end of class.
So
what time is it?
We should go back down. I think it's like 6:10.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bikram yoga, LES right now.
Hot yoga in Lower East Side.
Hot yoga Lower East Side. Is that what you're calling it?
That's what we're calling it right now.
Okay. That's what it's called right now?
Right now, it's called...
Change your website.
Yeah, no. It's still Bikram Yoga, Lower East Side.
Hot Yoga, Lower East Side. It's a cool neighborhood. Russ and Daughters is right over there. If you want to, like, pound down some chopped liver.
It's always been cool. We made it hot.
Yeah. This is where Iggy Pop used to, like, do heroin, right?
I don't know about that. Is that the box over there?
Maybe that's where he slept. Yeah. Yeah.
There's been lots of things that happened in this studio over there, you know.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop. Swelligans.
You teach a great class. You hire great teachers. It's a fun experience. It's fucking rad. I didn't know what to expect when I started coming here.
Me neither.
I got lucky. This is the closest one to me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Always get lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Thanks, Trisha.
We do hot yoga 92 degrees. Can you stretch it out for me? I got somewhere to be, but it's hard to leave. When you do it like you mean it, I'm proceeding. Is you the one? Is you the one?
she look me in my eyes, told me fuck them pussy niggas, they ain't ride, cause I'm riding and I'm dying for you, baby, got me feeling incredible, incredible, incredible.
Boom. That's the episode. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. If you're looking for a fucking yoga class, a hot yoga class / Bikram yoga, they're calling it classy yoga now. Look no further, honestly, than Grace Ferris NYC. It was never overcrowded. If you're looking for cooler, you sit by the windows in the back or the left side. The coolest, I guess, is the back left corner, facing the teacher in the front. It's just great. Good showers. Okay, good attitude by everybody there. They learn your name. Trisha, the other teachers, they learn your name after you're there for like a couple times. It's really nice. Come on, Ari, you can do it. The fucking, you know, the support. It's just fucking nice. It's a great place to go. So if you're at all in like the East Village or Soho, I suggest, why not? Go down there. Lower East Side at all. 172 Allen Street. Tell them I sent you. That'll get you nothing. So, I mean, you don't have to tell them I sent you, but you should go. It's fun. It's a fun way to work out. I got to do something. I really got to do something to get back in shape because my cardio is gone. I either got to start running, but it's cold as shit. So how's that going to be? You know what I did instead of running? I bought sweatpants. And am I going to use them? Either that, join a gym, go back to Jits, which I tried before, injure myself the first fucking halfway through the first class at Marcello's. So what are my options? Running, gym, Jits, hot yoga, or, oh, maybe that was it. Maybe that was it. Membership at the sauna. That's not really working out or anything to do with cardio. So. They have these Grace Fears classes. And there's different types of yoga, by the way. My favorite type of yoga that I noticed when I doing it, I did a little bit in Southeast Asia when I was traveling. On the roof of the hostel in the lake in Myanmar, or Nyang Shui, actually, outside in the lake. One of the people who ran the hostel was giving out free yoga on the roof. I did that once or twice. I did it on Lombok a few times, once in Kuta Lombok, once up in the hills somewhere with monkeys all around us. It was great. And other places too. I don't know where else. But the stretches would continue all through La Bombajo and on a boat we chartered it. And did I do it in East Timor? I don't know. The point is I did it. And my favorite type was yin yoga. Personally, yin yoga, which is when you just do like a deep stretch. So your legs are Indian style. Then you stretch forward. And then you just hold it. You don't like move to another thing. Like vinyasa, I think. I don't really understand them all. You hold it. And after like a couple minutes, the teacher's like, okay, if you can go a little further, kind of like inch your hands down. And like walk them down a little. Go a little further. Then after a minute of that, she goes, now go a little further. I like that a lot. You really get flexibility that way. The Bikram yoga was great. They are now calling it classic yoga. And the reason is this. This dude, Bikram, Harvey Bikram, started the class. Bikram Chaudhuri something. I don't know. He started Bikram yoga. He was the one who came up with the 26 or 28 poses. And he was revered, as anyone is. The same way Timothy Leary is revered. Or Malcolm Gladwell. Or anyone who sort of like starts. I don't know who Malcolm Gladwell is. Starts an idea. They get looked up to. And so he was getting paid bank to come do seminars. I mean, if you get someone who's like learned with Bikram, you get paid bank. Someone who's just well versed in the Bikram studies, who didn't even learn with them, you get paid bank to come be a guest teacher somewhere. But Bikram was making mad loot. People were like asking him to come teach seminars at their classes, their schools, like all over the world. He was killing it. And as we said with Trisha, there's some hot people in this class. And when you look up to someone, they have this power. Not that's like he can do anything to you, but an admiration power. Kind of like the way Louis C.K. realized. When people admire you, you also have power over them. It's almost like a hypnosis. And that power is not wrong to use it. I don't believe so. I don't think it's saying, hey, you look up to me. I'd like to have sex with you, someone who looks up to me. And then they can say, yes, I'd like to have sex with someone who I look up to. That's okay. But he started just straight raping people. Bikram. I mean, straight raping people. Forget sexual harassment at places where people aren't into it, because he started. All these guys that get hookers, the hooker people, I don't know if you guys have known a hooker guy. Hooker guys, fine, whatever. That's what everybody says. Why don't you just get a sex worker if you have to do whatever? Because then it fucks with you. You start viewing all women as just commodities because you've commodified sex. And it's hard for you just to go. I mean, it's like if my dad was a plumber and my roommate was a plumber and I got all my plumbing work done for free. If later someone was like, oh, I can help you with plumbing work, I just need this much money, I'd be like, no, I don't pay for plumbing. You understand? And vice versa, if I only pay for plumbing, and I've always paid for plumbing, I've always had bad pipes, and I've always needed my pipes cleared. Good comparison. I've always needed my pipes cleared, and I've always paid for it. And then someone later is like, well, I know how to fix pipes. And I'm like, here. And they just you just throw $50 at them and say, fix my pipes. And they go, well, I'm not doing that right now. I'm at your party. And it's like, I said, here's $50. Now go fix the fucking pipes. But they're like, I'm just here at your party. I'm not here to fix pipes. So I've lost this metaphor. I am pretty hard. I've lost it. But anyway, the point is, he started sexual harassing people and they were like, nah. And then he started straight raping people. And they're probably, were they screaming? Nah, they're definitely nah. But, so then the feds start coming after him. He took everything and left all his cars. He sold and fucking got the fuck out of America. Went back to India where there was no extradition laws or something. On rape. So now he's living in India. ABC News or HBO Real Sports found him, and they said they were doing a story on yoga, and then they asked him about the rape claims, and his answer was, why would I rape? Women would pay $1 million for one drop of my sperm. Can you imagine that goal? And you guys are getting on Louis C.K. for his apology not being perfect enough. Why would I rape? Women would pay $1 million for a drop of my sperm. Wow. The gall. The fucking wow. So now here's the problem. All these yoga people who are very like pure. It's a pure world, you know? They're very nice. Like they're like Trisha, who donates her time to the fucking girls club. These are good, nice people who are positive people. And now they're aligned with this fucking rapist. So a lot of them wanted to change the name. But the problem with changing the name is if you're only teaching Bikram yoga, then he's legally still got a case on you. I think this is what I've heard. And then they'll be like, well, we'll just name it something else. Like, well, if you're only doing my teaching, you have to pay me. So now other places are starting to change their names and add a couple extra classes. Trisha, if you're listening, fucking add a yin yoga, a hot yin yoga. That'd be fucking sweet. An hour hot yin yoga, even an hour and a half. But so anyway, Trisha said, fuck it. I'm not aligning myself with a rapist anymore. And now she's changing her name to Fierce Grace NYC, which I applaud her for. All these yoga classes, they don't want to be known as Bikram anymore. And really, when I heard Bikram, the first time I heard Bikram, I just thought it was like a method. I didn't really associate it with a human. It sucks when you like... And you're like, well, this teaching is good. What happened to the teacher? Like, damn it. Do I have to throw out the teacher too? It's kind of like when the Nazis did experiments on Jews. And then after the war, all these scientists and doctors were like, well, can we use those medical experiments? And it was like this, like, well, one, we're not going to say we support researching on people. But two, like, I mean, there's shit in there we can use to help, you know, fight cancer and shit like that. Why would we not use it? What's done is done. Man, I am full of these bad metaphors today. But I mean, what'd you want Louis to do? He apologized to the women. Not to you guys, but to the women years before. So like, what did you want? Like, what would be the right way? It almost seems like there is no right way. He didn't say the word sorry to us. You weren't involved. Stupids. So Bikram's gone. He's over there. If you want to take a class, you got to go all the way to India to get it. I got to go to India. I got to start planning my next trip. I'm getting fucking wanderlust again. I'll be back on the road. The road will help me a shitload. January Don't forget Asheville, North Carolina. Athens, that's the third and fourth, or fourth and fifth, I forget. Denver Comedy Works for an Ari Shaffir's Renamed Storytelling Shows, the 17th to the 20th. And then my New England run with Joe List, 26th, 27th, 28th. Boston, Providence, Comics Foxwoods, and then Helium, Philadelphia, February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Check all my tour dates at arithegreat.com. That's it. Should we stop the episode? We should stop the episode. I can't wait to go skiing. Oh, if I break my ankle the first week, that'll be very disappointing. I'm not going to, though. I'm going to keep it on light blues. Stay off the fucking... Stay on the trails, away from the woods. But who am I fooling? Of course I'm going to go in the woods. When you see a little inlet and outlet, it's so exciting. You duck your head and get under there. I'm not that good a skier. It's exciting as shit, though. When Azizi got some air last year, I showed him how. Like, dude, there's a little pop-up right there. And he fucking did it. Caught a good, like, 10 inches to 12 inches of fucking full air. Such a good feeling. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Until, I don't know, next week. Now I'm going to go fucking mess with Logic Pro for a while. See if I can figure the fucking that out. All right, your first episode 310. Hot Yogi. With Trisha Donegan. Over and out.
I want somebody to share. Share the rest of my life. Share my innermost thoughts. Know my intimate details. Someone who stand by my side and give me support. And in return, she'll get my support. She will listen to me when I want to speak about the world we live in and life in general. Though my views may be wrong, they may even be perverted, she'll hear me loud and won't easily be converted to my way of thinking. In fact, she'll often disagree. Stand like this, I'll get up.